You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
I'm excited to be filling in for Pastor Jesse this week. He is preaching in Carroll, Iowa, so that's exciting for him. And I think it's exciting for them, but I know it'll go well. We're going to continue on talking about prayer today. We're in this series in January talking about prayer. And of course, a couple weeks ago, we had a fantastic message from Pastor Ed. He talked about the private personal prayer. Last week, Jed gave an inspiring message about faith-filled prayer. So we're going to continue on in that series today, speaking on prayer. So before we begin, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear from you, Lord God. We pray that we would just, our spirits would just be stilled to hear from you and to get a sneak peek from you as to what your vision for our life is. We pray that you would just impart that into our hearts this morning, Lord God. And we pray we would be obedient, stand in faith to hear those things and believe them. Guide my words this morning, Lord. Use me to speak what you have for all of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So as many of you know, my professional career started in the television news business. I was a TV anchor and reporter, a news anchor and reporter, under the bright lights in Sioux City, Iowa, for the NBC affiliate. That's right. And it didn't take me long to rise to the great heights of celebrity in the Siouxland. It was not uncommon for me to go to places like TJ Maxx or Chili's and have people, usually elderly people, come up to me and say, "Hey, aren't you that weather guy?" It's close enough. It's fine. But after I'd done that for a couple years, I started to kind of deal with a couple issues, one of which I shared with you all a few months back. I had some anxiety, essentially kind of panic attacks whenever I would go on the air. Whenever I would do a story, so this is basically a daily thing, whenever I would have a story on air, I would start to get anxious about choking on my own saliva and barfing, which is not what you're looking for in a trusted newscaster. So that literally almost became like a paralyzing thing for me. I had to deal with that virtually every day. But the other issue I was dealing with was a restlessness in my spirit. And I'm not sure quite how else to describe it, but if you've ever been there, you know what I mean. I was in a place where I knew that my career trajectory was going in a different direction, that something was going to change, but I didn't know what that was. And so I took kind of a shotgun-style approach to finding out. I applied for basically whatever I'd find, decided I was going to try some things out. I actually took a job to do full-time drama ministry up at the University of Northern Iowa. And then I backed out at the last minute because I knew that was not the right choice, and went down the road of applying with or getting into the application process as a financial advisor. I submitted resumes for PR and marketing positions. I submitted an application for the Master's of Public Policy program at UNI. But none of it stuck. None of those doors were remaining open. So in June of 2004, I got married, and I remember having a conversation after the wedding with my father-in-law. And he is a great man of God, successful businessman, and somebody I respect greatly. And I remember having this conversation with him just about this kind of professional restlessness. And we talked in general terms about maybe what some next steps looked like. And I remember a few months passing, and then in November of 2004, having a more specific conversation with him in which he asked me, he brought up a few possibilities about, well, you could try this, or what about this, or what about this. And he said, "Have you ever considered going to law school?" And when he mentioned that to me, when he asked me that question, there was something in my spirit that responded. It was like something was awakened inside of me. And I recall that over the next few weeks, I really started to think about that more and more, started to look into the possibility of going to law school, researching it online, what the process looks like, what it would be like to take the LSAT, the law school entrance exam. I talked with Jess about it. We were praying about what next steps would be. And then I recall clearly that Christmas of that year, so just a month after this had been mentioned to me, it was like a light switch was flipped. And I suddenly knew that that was the right direction. That was the right next step. And so Jess and I together decided that that's what we were going to pursue. I was going to go to law school. And we had a peace about that. And so things moved quickly from there. I signed up for the next available law school entrance exam. It was just 6 weeks later. I spent the next 6 weeks on my days off studying at Caribou Coffee, Sioux City Public Library, taking practice tests, charting my progress on those tests on a whiteboard in my office. My plan, as we embarked in this journey, and sorry to you Cyclone fans, but you don't even have a law school, so give me a break. But my plan was to go to the University of Iowa Law School. A few reasons for that. They're top 25 law school. I felt that I had the numbers that I could get in. It was within Iowa, so we didn't have to worry about out-of-state tuition, and it was reasonably priced, and it was close to our parents. But to be perfectly honest, price was a big factor. See, I was working at a job at the time where I was making peanuts. We didn't really have much of any savings. We had just gotten married. It was not a situation where our folks were just going to write a check so I could go to law school. Money was a real consideration. And the last thing we wanted to do, or that I wanted to do as a husband, was to take a few years off and saddle ourselves with a bunch of debt. So I take the LSAT test, get the results back a few weeks later. It was basically what we expected, so we felt good about that. And the problem we ran into was that while the score was, I thought, at least good enough to get into Iowa, the admissions deadline had passed a few weeks earlier. And the way it works for law school, or at least some law schools, is it's not a matter of applying early and then submitting your application later. You got to have all your stuff done before the admissions deadline. So if you don't get the LSAT score in time, you don't get to apply. So of course, I called the University of Iowa up. I'm figuring, hey, this is God's plan, right? You got to make an exception. Well, they didn't see it that way. There are no exceptions. The deadline's closed. We'll talk to you next year. So I had a connection in Sioux City that I'd met over the course of the last few years. I knew that he or his dad at least had some clout at Iowa Law School, so I had him make a call and see if there were any exceptions, and there were not. So that left Drake. Drake was, again, in the state of Iowa. It was close. It was, importantly, still taking applications. They had a rolling admissions process. And Jess was interviewing for a job. She'd thrown out some resumes. She was interviewing for a job in Des Moines, which was also an important component of all of this. But the problem with Drake is that its tuition was about $33,000 per year. And law school is a three-year program. That's a lot of money. And by way of comparison, Iowa Law School, their tuition, I think, was $13,000 at the time. It's a big difference. So I knew that if I was going to go to Drake, or any private school for that matter, I needed some big scholarship assistance, right? And the other problem with Drake was that they only give out 5 full tuition scholarships. Now, I thought with my numbers, I thought, yeah, you know, I could be in the running for one of these. But the problem was, it was so late in the process, because I'd gotten into the process so late. I was looking to start in June of 2005, and at this point, we're in February of 2005. So how many of those scholarships do you think are left? And I recall going on a law school visit, meeting with the folks in their admissions office, and if you can imagine, like, a tall, skinny guy pathetically begging for money, That's kind of what took place during that visit, as I was just imploring them to give me as much money as possible. And at the same time, Jess was interviewing for that job in Des Moines. So we have that visit, we go back to Sioux City, and then we wait. We wait to hear about her job, we wait to hear what news we would get from the law school. And I remember that we received word from her employer, from that job job interview, that she'd gotten the job. It was hers if she wanted it. And at or about the same time, I got the scholarship letter from Drake. And I was so excited to open it because I knew that all the stars were aligning. And I opened that thing up, and lo and behold, I got half. Now, half is nothing to sneeze at, right? But if you do the math, half is still paying more than if I'd gone to Iowa. And the other problem was that the scholarship was at least in part need-based. So that meant when Mama goes to work, Daddy's probably going to have his scholarship reduced. And that's a problem. That's a problem. So we had a decision to make. Do we take the offer? Do we go to Drake and step out in faith, even though we know that we are going to be paying a lot more, taking on a lot more debt than we wanted to? Or do we wait? Do we wait another year and hit that applications deadline in Iowa? Or try to search out another school where I could get maybe bigger and better scholarships? And I remember the pressure of that moment, life just weighing down on me, that as a husband, you know, leading us into this place or having to make a decision about what to do next. And I remember responding as any mature believer would. I punched our apartment wall and broke my hand. And I called my mom crying. But in the final analysis, you know, Jess and I were on board. We were both hearing the same thing, the same direction from God. And in that direction, there was a sense of urgency. This is the time. And so together, we decided we were going to step out in faith, and we were going to make the move to Des Moines. Because we knew that God had spoken to us. But that wasn't the only thing that he was speaking. We were attending a church in Sioux City at the time, Central Baptist Church. We had some great friends there and great Sunday school teacher, great Sunday school class we were a part of. And I remember that our Sunday school teacher, who was an older couple, had passed out an article about prayer. And the gist of the article was that sometimes God places things on our hearts to pray for because he wants us to pray for those so he can answer those prayers. Sometimes God speaks into our hearts the things he wants us to pray for. And I remember the Sunday school teachers talking about their own testimony, how they had felt compelled to pray that their own children would get through college without any debt. And that was something they continued to pray and believe and declare over their children's life. And it happened. And I remember as they were sharing that testimony, it spoke to both Jess and I. There was something in our spirit in which it just resonated with us. And we talked about that. And talked about how we felt that was something for us. That God was speaking to us. That was something we could latch on to. A promise from him. And that we would pray it. We would proclaim it. We decided that we were going to put a spiritual stake in the ground and declare that promise for our lives. So about 6 months after I'd made the decision to go, start the summer semester, and every day, or virtually every day, Jess and I are praying, I thank you, Father, and declare in Jesus' name that Christian is going to get through law school without debt. Finish the summer semester. Start the fall semester. Every day, I thank you, Father, and declare in Jesus' name that Christian is going to get through law school without debt. And a funny thing happened after that first semester. We got our grades back. Had a perfect GPA. Top of the class. Now, folks, you need to realize, I was a good student coming in, but I was not necessarily elite, okay? My brother, he's 10 years older. He was the elite intellectual of our family. He was a guy who was getting the full rides and the presidential scholarships. He's now a professor of mathematical logic, okay? So he's a lot of fun at parties. But he was always the smart one, and I, you know, I got the good looks, I guess, right? But I didn't even get a 4.0 in undergrad, okay? And I majored in electronic media, which is how do you turn a VCR on right, you know? couldn't even do that. So when I see my grades, see my position in the class, I think, well, clearly, you know, we've been praying this and declaring this and believing this. This must be the sign that I am supposed to now go ask for more money. So I do. Talk to the admissions office, and lo and behold, they said no. And in fact, not only did they say no, they said, you know, actually, now that you bring this up, we see that your wife is working, so we're going to dial back the scholarship money that we had previously given you. So that wasn't exactly the answer I had been looking for. But we went back and forth. We worked it out. I finally at least got them to fix the amount that they'd previously given to me. But Jess and I, we were still believing for something more. So we kept on praying. We kept on believing. We kept on declaring, I thank you, Father. And declare in Jesus' name that Christian is going to graduate from law school without debt. And in the meantime, as we were waiting for that promise to be fulfilled, we were doing what we could, right? We were working hard. Now, I couldn't work during my 1L year. It's not permitted. But I was doing what I could during breaks. So over winter break, I took a job at Bath & Body Works. Now, folks, nothing says Merry Christmas like this guy in an apron offering to put some lotion on your hands. But I was just trying to honor the promise, do what I could to work hard and make money so this promise could be fulfilled. So the spring semester comes and it goes, and again, I get my grades, 4.0, top of the class. And I talk to Jess, and I know what she's going to say, but I don't even want to hear it. I say, Jess, you know, I've asked them, I've been begging them for more money. Do you think I should go back and talk to the dean and ask him for a full ride scholarship? She said, Christian, we're praying for it. We're believing in this. We're declaring it. We're praying it every day. Let's step out in faith. Let's live our lives like we believe God is going to do what he's promised us he would. And so, you know, I found this letter actually in my file a few days ago. But I wrote a letter to the dean. I asked for a meeting. I got the meeting. I chatted with him. I begged for more money. And he said, well, I'll get back to you. And a few days later, I got a call from the dean. And he said, Christian, you know, we got 5 full tuition scholarships here. And one of the scholarship recipients from this past year has decided that law school is not for her, so she's leaving. So we've got an open scholarship, and we'd like to give it to you. But that's not all. See, there's a new component of the scholarship that provided for a living stipend to be awarded, to be provided. So practically speaking, what this news meant was the final 2 years of my law school experience would be paid for. Now, in that first year, we'd accrued some debt. But the amount of the stipend I would receive and the amount of money I had and would earn through working jobs would more than cover the debt that we had accrued. And so two years later, I would graduate law school without a dime of debt. God was faithful to his promise. He was faithful to the promise that he spoke into our lives and that he revealed to us. So my question for you this morning, folks, is what is God speaking to you? What is God speaking to you? What promises is he revealing to you? What does he want you to pray for? We're talking this morning about prophetic prayer. Prophetic prayer. And what I mean by that is prayer where we ask God what he has for us. Where we ask God to show us what to pray for, and then we pray it. ask God to direct our prayers in accordance with His will, to align our prayers in accordance with His will, and to give us just a sneak peek of what His perfect vision is for us, so that we can stand in faith and believe it, so that we can stand in faith and declare it. You know, in His mercy, God has invited us to pray to Him, to talk with Him about anything and everything, right? Large and small, that's what the Scripture says. But sometimes we forget that it's a two-way conversation. You know, my wife taught me within the last few days how to use the do not disturb function on my cell phone. Now listen, I'm not technologically savvy. I don't do the Facebook or the Twitter. So this was like, this is a big deal for me. So now I'm figuring out, you know, at the end of the day, right before bed when I'm trying to catch up on text messages or whatnot, I'll fire out some texts to my friends, and then I'll just put my phone on do not disturb. And that way, I don't have to be bothered by their responses. And sometimes, isn't our prayer life a little bit like that? We've got our list of grievances, our list of things that we want to ask God for, but we're not necessarily so inclined to hear what He has to say. We want to talk at Him, but we don't want to talk with Him. We forget it's a relationship. We forget that we serve an interactive God, a God who wants to communicate with us. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I'll tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." God wants to speak to us. He does speak to us. And that's true whether or not you have been following Him for 5 minutes, or 5 days, or 5 months, or 5 years, or your entire life. And it is true that He wants to speak to you and give you promises, regardless of whether you are living life, you're riding high on the hog, or you are down and out. God the Father spoke to His Son. He also spoke to a murderer of Christians. No matter what you've done, where you've been, what you're doing, God wants to speak to you. He has something to speak into your life. Jesus says in John 16 that He will leave His Spirit to guide us and to tell us what is to come. But are we listening, folks? Are we listening? In fact, let's back up. Are we even asking the right questions? There's a process in the legal practice when you file a lawsuit. It's called the discovery process. Each side in a lawsuit gets to ask questions of the other side to get information that may benefit their own position. So another party might ask my clients to produce certain documents or to provide certain information. The catch is that I only have to produce information that is actually responsive to what they ask. If they don't ask it, they don't ask about it, then I don't have to give it to them. And it never ceases to amaze me that there is critical information or documents that I have, but they just never ask for. And sometimes I think that's kind of how it works with prayer. Now, I am not suggesting in any way that we serve a hyper-technical God who requires us to use magic words, okay? But what I am saying is that sometimes we get so distracted by our own agendas that we miss out on His. Put it another way, sometimes we miss His answers because we are too focused on asking the wrong questions. You know, I think back to my time in Sioux City and going down all these different paths to try to figure it out. And I just wonder if maybe I had done a better job listening for His voice in those moments. If maybe I could have bypassed a lot of it. Because I remember once we had heard from Him, and once we made that decision to step out in faith, it was like a peace just washed over us. Paul seems to recognize our inability to pray. In Romans 8, he writes this: "The Spirit helps in our weakness, We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, William Barclay, who's a commentator, he says this about the passage, which I love. It says, Paul knew that by no possible effort of human intelligence can we know what to pray for. Well, there you go. Makes you feel good, doesn't it? We cannot see a year or even an hour ahead, and we may well pray to be saved from things which are for our good. And we may well pray for things which would be to our ultimate harm. In other words, even when we think we know exactly what we need, here's our list. Paul says, I don't think so. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, to guide us in our prayers, to direct our conversations and encounters with God. Matthew Henry, another commentator, says this, the Spirit, as an enlightening spirit, teaches us what to pray for. As a sanctifying spirit, works and excites praying graces. As a comforting spirit, silences our fears and helps us over all of our discouragements. The Holy Spirit is the spring of all our desires and breathings toward God. When we pray, let's let the Holy Spirit direct the conversations. Let's rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us as to what God has for us, what he wants to speak into our lives, what agenda he has in our time with him. A buddy of mine calls it listening prayer. Listening prayer. We can come, we're invited to come to the Father with our own agenda, absolutely. But while we come with our own agenda, we are sensitive to his. We're listening for what he has to say. In college, I had a mentor who challenged me one day to go home and ask God who to pray for and for what. Blank check. Ask God who to pray for and for what. And it was amazing the different names, the different people that came to my mind from years past, and what I was being called to pray for. And I offered those prayers up in faith because I was trying to listen and respond to the voice of God in those moments. There's something powerful about surrendering our prayer life to him. You know, we talk about surrendering everything else. What about surrendering control of our prayer life and seeking his holy input? Because, folks, he responds, right? He responds. I'm reading a book called The Bush Always Burns by Pastor Heath Adamson. We've had the privilege to have him speak here. And he talks about how, you know, God's speaking, but are we paying attention? And he talks about the different ways that God speaks. He says, you know, God speaks in an audible voice. Other times he awakens our consciences. Often he speaks to us through nature, his word, trustworthy people in our lives, or through circumstances. Hearing God's voice is much less about physical hearing than it is about spiritual listening. The more we learn, the more we lean in to listen with our hearts, the more we hear from him. So how is God speaking to you? Maybe it's through a scripture. Maybe it's through line in a worship song. Maybe it's through wise counsel of a friend. Maybe it's just that nudge in your spirit. I know I'm thankful that the Spirit, that God speaks through fathers-in-law. Thankful that God speaks through articles and Sunday school teachers and spouses. How is he speaking to you this morning? Are you listening? Pastor Ed made a great point when he preached a couple weeks back that the more time we spend just encountering God, the better we become at discerning his voice. John 10 says, Jesus says, my sheep will recognize my voice. My sheep will recognize my voice. It is a voice that is always consistent with his word, that is always consistent with his character, that is always encouraging, that is always strengthening, that is always comforting. My sheep will know my voice. I love the opening stanza of the Lord's Prayer where, you know, we say, Our Father who art in heaven. talk about a picture of a loving Father who we lift these prayers up to. Who at the same time is not only a loving Father, but a Father who has the heavens at His disposal. And who Paul says will work for the good of those who love Him according to His purpose. That's the voice we're listening for, the voice of a loving Father. So let's approach the throne and ask Him for direction in our prayers. Let's ask Him what to pray for. Let's ask Him to reveal His promises to us. Ask Him to download His vision. And let's pray with expectation. Scripture says that when we ask, it will be given to us. When we seek, He will help us find. When we knock, He will open the door. Let's pray with expectation that He wants to speak into our lives, and then let's listen. Let's listen. And when He speaks, let's do something about it. My mother-in-law sent me this text this week about prayer. She says, "Prayer is the labor room for the prophetic to become the delivered word." Prayer is the labor room for the prophetic to become the delivered word. In other words, in prayer, we come to hear God's voice. And when He delivers a word to us, when He speaks to us, then we need to speak it forth. And that's where faith comes in, folks. Jed talked about the faith-filled prayer last week. Boy, it takes faith to hear God's voice and then to declare it, to proclaim it and believe it, even when what we see doesn't match up with what He's promising us. When we hear God's voice, it takes faith to put that spiritual stake in the ground and say, "Okay, God, You've promised it. Now I'm going to believe it." But we can't forget, folks, that we serve a God who calls things into existence where they are not. Long odds don't matter. God makes the odds. So whether that's stepping out in faith to believe His promises for your life, or whether that's stepping out to speak forth something He has given you for somebody else, an encouraging word, a word of comfort, something that will strengthen somebody around you. You know, I think about the story in Acts of God speaking to Ananias and calling him to pray over Paul. Paul had just had his encounter with Christ and had been blinded. He had scales over his eyes, and he'd been directed to go find Ananias. And when the Lord speaks to Ananias and asks him to pray for Paul, Ananias responds probably like most, or at least some of us would, which was, "I don't think so." See, he said, "God, Paul murders people like me, so I'm not a big fan of wanting to pray for him." And God said, "Ananias," and this is my paraphrase, "I need you to do this because there's something I need to reveal in him, and I need you to pray with him for it to be revealed." And so Ananias is faithful in hearing from God and doing what he was called to do, speaking out, speaking forth that word. And he lays his hands on Paul, and what happens? It says the scales on Paul's eyes fall off. And I just wonder, what are the spiritual scales that are blinding the folks around us? What's the stuff that they have that God is calling you to pray with them about, that He will deliver them from? And it takes faith to hear from God and then to speak forth those promises, speak forth those declarations. You know, when folks come up to the altar, I'm kind of a socially awkward guy, so when folks come up to the altar for prayer, "You want prayer for X, Y, and Z? I'm going to pray with you for X, Y, and Z." But my wife, she's better at this listening prayer. So if she prays with you, you get like value add, okay? She'll pray with you for X, Y, and Z, but sometimes she'll also hear something, a nudge in her spirit, that you need prayer for A, B, and C. And so she'll say, "Hey, I don't know if this means anything to you, but I feel like the Lord is saying this. And folks, we need to step out in faith. As we ask God what to pray for and ask Him to reveal these things, we need to step out in faith. Declare them, proclaim them, speak them forth. And hold on to see what happens next. You know, there is something powerful, folks, about actually speaking things that God puts in here. There takes this extra step of faith to move something that's in here as a belief and actually verbalize it. Jed had preached last week about Mark chapter 11. Great example of this. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt it in their hearts, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Pray it. Say it. Believe it. We literally were declaring these things over our lives when I went to Drake. What promises has He given to you to declare? What promises is He giving to you to declare, to speak forth? You know, I'm not talking about naming it and claiming it. I'm not talking about treating God like a genie in a bottle. What I'm talking about is asking Him to show us what He has for us. And when He speaks into our lives, actually praying it and believing it and speaking it forth. Because folks, when we do that, when he gives us something, when He gives us a promise, ain't no mountain gonna stand in our way. No matter how bad things look. Even when that mountain is the Drake admissions office, it's not gonna happen. James 3, it says that the tongue has the power to direct our lives. Well, let's use it. Let's direct our life by speaking what He has for us, speaking His promises into our lives and the lives of those around us. And let's be persistent as we do it. We're called to pray without ceasing. In Colossians, Paul describes a disciple, Epaphras, as wrestling in prayer. I love that. Let's wrestle in prayer for these things. Let's wrestle in prayer. Let's be persistent in asking God to show us what He has for us. Let's be persistent listeners, and let's be persistent in praying those things that he shows us. You know, Matthew 7:7 is the verse, the ask, seek, knock verse. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Now that verse translated is actually keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Be persistent. Let's be persistent in our prayers. Be persistent in our proclamation of what God has given to us. So I have a challenge, a couple of challenges for you and me this week. First one is just to take some time and listen to God. Set aside some time to pray and just listen. And if you've got some things, some big things, some little things, whatever it is that you want to ask Him about and solicit some guidance on, hey, take a sheet of paper and write those down and pray about them. And then listen for His voice. And as He speaks to you, whatever it is, a verse, a song, verse of scripture, just write it down. And as He directs you in prayer, go there. As He directs you in prayer, go there. As He starts to download promises, write them down. We can continue to pray over those, to have others pray with us over those. And then as we discern the promise that He has, we will declare it. Spend some time listening for His voice this week. Second challenge is now as we continue to worship for a little while. Just ask you to stand up and let's spend some time listening. Let's try to still ourselves spiritually to hear what He has for us. And maybe there is something pressing in your life that you need guidance from now. Let's talk to Him about it and just listen and receive. And we're going to ask you can come up. If you want to do that at the altar, that's great. Just to show Him that you are just surrendering to what He has to say. We invite you to come up. If you have specific prayer requests, we're going to invite you to come up for that too. We'll kind of work our way around and pray with you. But folks, let's be a church body that is actively listening for His voice and proclaiming it. Because folks, there are some amazing things that God wants to do. We just got to hear His voice so we know it, can believe it, we can speak it forth. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You speak to us, Lord God. We thank You that You have promises for us, Lord God, and we thank You for the faith to hear them and to walk them out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.